God did bless in an amazing way this week by lining up missionaries that quick, and he answered prayers, and he does that to those that are faithful. We just need to remain faithful, and God will continue to bless this church. This is not the message, just so you know, but Matthew 6:16 says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites or a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face." This is the words of Christ, and he says, when you fast, do it in this manner. Our churches have lost a lot of power, both in prayer and in strength from God, because we're not a fasting people anymore. We don't sacrifice ourselves into God and allow him to work through our hearts and through our lives. I fast. I practice fasting for quite a few years now, but I bought 15 of these books. It is The Awesome Power of Prayer and Fasting. Brother Chris gave me one about 5 years ago, and I've used it and I've studied it, and since then I have become faithful to fasting when God burdens my heart to do those things. But it's wrote by Pastor Greg T. Crabb. If you know his name, he's also the founder of Reformers Unanimous. He started that work and done a wonderful job. But I bought 15 of these books. And y'all are welcome to the books, and I'll hand them, and you're more than welcome to have these and read them and study them. But I ask you not to take them unless you're actually going to read them, though. That way they can be a blessing to somebody else. But he said unto them, "This kind can come by nothing but by prayer and fasting." We need God's hand. We need God's power to do things in our lives and in our churches. And we have lost a lot because we no longer do the things that God has asked us to do. And he says, when you fast, do it in this manner. And so much that if you read this book, it'll show you in multiple ways how the new Bibles have destroyed fasting on purpose, has taken it out. If that's not a hint to you how much strength there is for those that fast truly and ask God for his help, then the devil himself is trying to destroy it and take it out of our churches and out of his word. But these books, I have them there in that seat. If you're more than welcome to it after the service. But I do, like I said, I do ask you, if you're not going to read it, don't take it. That way it can be given to somebody else that will enjoy it. But with that being said, I do encourage you to take them. Where or who is the only man named in the Bible that is left-handed? Oh, really? You knew it 2 weeks ago? There's multiple people in the Bible left-handed, but there's only one person that his name is given by name. What's that? Yes, he killed the king of Moab because he was not used to anybody being left-handed. So when he pulled out of his right side, he pulled out the sword and stabbed him. And so much that the fat around his body, clothes around, he could not pull it out. That's what the Bible says. I am surprised. I mean, it's good that y'all know the story, though. This is better than what we normally do on a Wednesday night. So, unless Brother Randy's back there Googling for us. But he's not back there today. No, you ain't phoning. You're not calling Brother Randy. E. Yes. Nope. It begins with an E. It's not a very familiar name. Matter of fact, it's probably... Brother Earl got it. Ehud. Judges chapter 3. Verse 15, he says, "But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed." They are right. It shocked the Moabitess or the Moabite king that he did not know, because he drew it from his right to his left. And that's how he won the battle. A party of Methodist ministers was attending an annual conference, a private countryside resort. Several of them set off to explore the area, and presently they came upon an old bridge that crossed a quiet pond. Unfortunately, they didn't notice a sign declaring that the bridge to be unsafe. As they crossed it, the caretaker came running after them. Hey, stop! You better get off the bridge, he protested. It's all right, declared the ministers. We're all in this resort with permission. We're Methodists from the conference. The caretaker said, well, you better get off of it or you're going to become Baptist. If you have your Bibles, please find your places in John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Verses 15 and 8 through 18, and then we'll skip over to 24 through 27. But then also put your finger in Luke chapter 22 and verse 60 through 63. Starting with John chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. And we'll hop over, read 24, 25, 26. And then we'll cut back to Luke 22, verses 60 through 63. I'll give you a moment to put your fingers in all the right places. John chapter 18, verse 15, where we'll start. If you find your places, go ahead and stand. Once the majority has stood, we will begin. We're all standing, so I hope we're there. John chapter 18, verse 15, the Word of God said, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and he went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself." Now over to verse 24. "Now Annas had sent him bound unto Cephas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art thou not also one of his disciples? He denied it, and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" Now over to Luke chapter 22 and verse 60. Luke 22 and verse 60. "And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Father God, we love you. We thank you for answering prayers, Lord, and putting a missions conference together for us. Help us to be faithful, Lord, to continue the Great Commission. Lord, to support those nearest and dearest to your heart. Lord, we pray a blessing upon the night service. Be with the children, Miss Gill in the back, help them to learn, help her to teach. Lord, be with us out here tonight, Lord. Just help us to hear the Holy Spirit. Push out the world just for a little bit. Father God, we do pray if there's a lost one, that one will be saved. We do lift up our pastor to you, Lord. Give him journey mercies. Bring him in safely. Give us wisdom and direction to Brother Peters Lord, as he comes in a couple of weeks. Lord, we pray, Lord, for the need of a pastor. And we know you'll provide. Lord, but just for a little bit, we pray for you to come down and dwell with us. Lord, help me to preach. Not to say anything you wouldn't want me to, but to do that precious will. Father God, we love you. And we thank you for your dear son. And it's his name we pray. Amen. A story that is known by most. It is a story of denial. It's even a story that had the ending that was already known to the subject. Simon Peter, Cephas, a stone, a man of the inner circle of Christ, a man that had walked on water, had been shown by God that Jesus was Christ, the Son of the living God. A man that just hours before claimed that he would never offend the Lord. He said that though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee, was his words. And he spoke them with confidence and authority. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he wanted to build altars, for it had been near a miracle of God. And he knew something pure and holy was wrought, and he wanted to honor and to remember it. He was a man that was brazen for God, and he swore to the end that he loved the Master. These were the attributes that were accredited to Peter. These are the things that he did or that he was allowed to partake in when he was with Christ. These are the things that Peter was known for. When he is mentioned in the group of the disciples, is he not always mentioned first? He was the spokesman for the group, one that spoke frankly or matter-of-factly about Christ. He left his business of fishing, boats and all to follow Jesus. He at that time did not question when his brother Andrew said, "Come, we have found the Messias." He left. There's no doubt that Peter loved Christ. He loved Christ enough to follow him when he first was arrested in the garden. He followed him to the palace. But he stopped just before going into the gates. Something happened to Peter. And he got scared. Something happened and he forgot the very thing that was just said hours before. Something happened to Peter that can happen to any one of us. And even to the greatest of servants. We find Peter in verse 18 of our text tonight. And the servants and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The time now, of course, is about the time it is now. It's early spring. It was night. It was cold. And people had built small fires to stay warm. We all like fires, especially on cold nights when the air is crisp. A fire is a warm welcome and a comfort when the temperature is low outside. We build fires for one reason. We build fires because we're cold. Peter was cold that night, so he stood by the fire. He wanted to get warm. But Peter was more than just cold on the outside. He was cold on the inside as well. Peter had made some mistakes that night. Some of the same very ones that people make today. The very same mistakes that Peter made that cold night are still being made today by Christians. The first mistake was his pride. We find Peter, Luke 22:33, he says, and he said unto them, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." We find Peter here boasting that he would follow Christ into the dungeons, into the prisons, to be locked and to be stockaded. He said, "There's nothing, Lord, that's going to stop me from following you. I'm going to go where you go." He goes one step further. He said, "I'm going to follow you into death. I will follow you all the way, Christ. Wherever you go, Lord, I am going with you," was his boast. He said it with confidence. And everything that was within inside of him, he boasted this. He said it with pride, with a surety. He said these things. Lord, there's not going to be anything that stops me from going where you go. We find Peter boasting that he would not let Christ stand alone. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction and the haughty spirit before a fall. We should never boast before the devil. For the very thing that we boast of is often the thing that brings us to our knees. It's the one thing that the devil will use against us. And he used it against Peter. The one thing that he would never do, he did. No matter what, Lord, I'll be there, he says. I'm going to follow you all the way to the end. But he stopped at the gate. No matter the trial or tribulation, Lord, I'm going to be there. But he would not enter in. We rest in ourselves and we will fall short every time. But how much is conquered by the ones that rest in the strength of God? He should have cried out when the Lord warned him of the mistakes that he was going to make. He should have begged for help when God said, you will deny me thrice. But instead of asking for help, he boasted, I'm not going to do that. There's no way, Lord. I'm too strong for that. He should have taken the warnings to heart and fell down before the Lord and asked him for help. He should have fell down before him and asked for strength. Asked for forgiveness of his pride. But instead he rested in himself and his own strength. He should have asked for help. But he relied upon himself and he fell short of the glory that night. He heeded not the very words of his beloved rabbi. For he was warned of his failures. We are warned by our beloved rabbi and our heavenly teacher. He warns us in His Word of many things, the do's and the don'ts. He gives us the outcomes. He has predicted the future and the prophecy of the revelations to tell us what's to come. But we heed not His warnings. We do not go about setting forth to do the Master's work. For the time draweth nigh, you know not when I come, for I come as a thief in the night. But are we ready? Are we listening to the warnings of God that He has given us? It's no different than the warnings that he gave Peter about denying him three times. Christ is coming. He shall return. And in like manner, the Bible says. But do we listen to his warnings, to his word? It tells us of the future. It tells us of the consequences. We will fall in the same pride that brought Peter down to tears if we do not rest in his strength. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28 says, hast thou known? Hast thou not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understandings. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and be not weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Peter failed because he tried to do it by himself. Peter failed because he relied on his human strength. Peter failed because he left the strength that was in Christ. And we will fail too if we do the same. For it's God's strength that gives us might. It is God's strength that we conquer the powers and the principalities and the darkness of the airs. It's not in our own might, but in His. This is in His strength that we walk in His strength that we run in. And it's His strength that we faint not. Not ours, for ours fail on our youth, the Bible says, and give ways in the days of the old. But His strength never fails us. Never fails. Not only did pride get in the way of Peter, but the deadliest thing that could ever happen to a child of God happened to Peter that night. Peter lost sight of Christ that night. Christ was taken into the palace and Peter could not see him. He lost the image that was just there before him. The very person that he had been courageous in front of was gone. And so was Peter's fire. So was his zeal. He no longer had the brazen spirit he had just had hours before. The same spirit that he cut off Malchus' ear with. While he was standing next to Christ, he was strong. But as soon as Christ was out of his sight, he became weak and cold. He grew cold. And when he did, he went and stood with the world to get warm. He tried their fire. How their coals glowed in the night's air. How they looked inviting for him to come and to join them to get warm with them. The others seemed to be pleased with where they were standing. After all, they're just people just like he was. He was cold. He wanted to be warm. So he joined his very same people. In a few hours, he'll cry out, "Crucify him. Crucify him." They hated the very God that Peter honored before. But yet he stood with him because he was cold. He wanted to be warm. The world cannot warm us. The world cannot comfort us. The world cannot care for us. There's nothing good that the world can offer us. It may look nice. The fire may look pretty. But it will never satisfy you. The warmth will never last. It may be good for a couple of hours or a couple of days or even a couple of nights. But it will fade and come to pass. Peter got cold because the one thing that keeps us warm, the person in Christ that keeps us kindled, was no longer in his sight. But that was Peter's fault. That he could no longer see Christ because he did it to himself. Just like it's our fault when we lose sight and grow cold. It's not God's fault. He's always been there. He never leaves us and never forsaken us. But we lose sight of him. But why do we lose sight? Because just like Peter, we stop and quit following. He stopped following and then he got cold. And once he got cold, he started denying the one that he proclaimed so well and so outstanding. He quit following. He lost sight. He got cold and he went into the world to get warm. And he lost his compassion, his love for the Savior. The one that just proclaimed that he would never leave him was now in verse 17. "Art thou also one?" "I am not." He forgot about the one that he loved. He forgot about the message, the warning that Christ had just given him. He forgot about all the time that he had spent with him, the 3.5 years of miracles that he did. He forgot that he walked on water. He forgot the very one that calmed the storms of the seas. Because he grew cold. And he lost sight and compassion for God. He forgot the things that he just went through. He forgot all the blessings. Verse 25. "Art thou not also one?" "I am not." He forgot about the one that fed thousands. He forgot about the one that had called him out from fishing. The one that had taught him about the parables, about the kingdom of heaven. He forgot about the one that supplied all his needs, that sustained him inside and out, that kept him warm. He forgot about him. Then in verse 26, "Did I not see thee?" And then Peter denied again. "I never knew him. I'm not one of his." Did you not once proclaim the Christ, the Son of the living God? He stood hiding in the crowd, trying to get warm with their fire that they built. Denying the very Christ that he wanted to build an altar for, to remember forever. We do the same when we lose sight. Because we quit following. Not long after we stop going where Christ is, we get cold. And we live our lives and start denying God. We start denying God by allowing certain sins to come in. By doing the things that we once proclaimed was wicked and evil. We have turned to. The people that we once said that we will not do those things, we are now warming ourselves by their fires. It's because we grow cold. You want to stay on fire for God? You want to stay warm by His fire? You have to go where He goes. If He goes into the valley, we must follow Him. It may look cold, it may seem dreary, but I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, Christ says, as He whispers in our ears. But you have to be close to Christ to hear the whispers. For the winds of the world will blow the voice away. You will not hear the message of the Father. You have to get close to Christ to hear His words. You have to get close to remember what He says. If Christ climbs the peaks of Zion, you must also yourself scale the mountainsides. If Christ asks you to go into the rivers, shank to your families, as they did in our forefathers' times, you must also follow Him into the rivers. If He asks you to go into the dungeons of Iraq for proclaiming His gospels, you must go to the dungeons. For where Christ goes, we have to go with Him. For if we lose sight of our Savior, we grow cold. And we lose our compassion. We need to get close to Him to hear His voice. To hear the whisper, to feel His breath upon our cheeks as John did as he rested upon His bosom. We had to remain in His sight. We need to grab hold of His tunic as a 2-year-old child does a mother's dress and not let go. For it's in His strength and in His power that we have anything, that we conquer anything. It's not of our own will. We have to hold on to our Savior. We have to follow Him wherever He goes. We sing songs that we do this. But our lives, we quit following. Our lives, we quit searching. We quit looking to where He's at. And we lose our fire. We lose our compassion for God, just as Peter did. Oh, let us hasten to the blood-stained side of our Savior. Let us not leave. Let us cleave to Him. We must never leave His side. We should never do anything or be anywhere that our Savior is not. We should never have anything in our lives that our Savior would not want to see, that He cannot come and join us. There's nothing on our TVs that we should be watching that our Savior would not want to sit beside us. Because we're watching sinful things, guess who's not there? Our Savior's not there. We've lost sight of Him. We do things in our life that is not right. Our Savior's not going to be there. We've lost sight of Him. For where sin is, He cannot be. We need to keep our eyes on Christ and stay sin free. That we can go where He wants us to go. That we can go where He goes. We need to follow Him all the way to heaven. And never lose sight. We must never leave His side. There should be never anything or any reason that would stop us from following Him. Peter was stopped at the gate. And then the disciple come back and offered to help him. John had already proceeded past the first gate because he knew the priest. But Peter stopped. But John did what every Christian should do. He turned back around to go get Peter. Come on, Peter, let's go where Christ's at. Come on, Peter, let's get a little closer to our Savior. This is what we should do as children of God. When one of our fellow brothers or sisters is falling short, we should go back and get them and bring them into the Master. We should bring them closer to where Jesus is so that they go further and they see Christ. This is what John did. We should do the same for those that are lagging behind. Those that are lost sight, we should go back and get. But I'm going to tell you, though, even if you go back and get them, it still has to be their choice to follow Christ. No matter how much we pray, no matter how much we beg, they have to make a decision to follow Christ. John went back and got Peter and brought him into the gate, into the palace, into the courtyard. But once again, Peter stopped. Peter still did not choose to follow. Yes, we must go back and get our brothers and sisters and bring them forward. We can't make them do it. But then we find Peter. The third time that he denied Christ. In the account in the Gospel of Luke, he says he turns and he sees the Lord looking at him. You see what happened was, he seen his Savior again. He seen Christ again. And once he got a hold of Christ and his vision, what happened? He remembered how Christ had warned him. He remembered the glory days. He remembered everything that Christ had taught him. Just by one look, because he could see the Savior again, he remembered everything. And he wept bitterly, the Bible says. He was chastened. One look by the Savior shines light into the darkness of our hearts. It reveals the sin and the wickedness that's there, as it should. And Peter wept bitterly that night. But it just took one look. If we remain in the sight of Christ, if we remain in eyesight and never leave His side, we do not lose the power of God. We do not fall in temptation and sin. We do not grow cold and weary. The fires do not get put out. For it's Christ that keeps us alive. It's in His vision that we grow stronger. It is His power and might that we conquer daily. But one look and Peter knew. Peter remembered. We forget when we quit looking for Christ. We forget when we turn away from Him. We grow cold when we quit reading our Bibles and we quit studying and praying. We grow cold when we lose sight and the vision of our holy God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's what happened to Peter. Peter had a choice. He could have followed. He stopped. And once he stopped, he lost sight. Once he lost sight, he got cold. And once he got cold, he started looking elsewhere for warmth. And then he went into the world. We do the same thing today. We make the same mistakes that Peter does. I don't fault him one bit. He loved God. He loved his Savior. He did many wonderful things after this for Christ. But the same thing happens in our life when we stop going to church. Same thing happens in our life when we stop reading the Bible. Same thing happens in our life when we start listening to ungodly music. To be sober-minded means don't put anything in there that God does not want you to have. That way you're not thinking like the world. That's just counting the things you watch on TV, the things you look at on the computer. We have to have a mind of Christ in order to follow Him, to remember Him, to seek Him. Peter got cold that night because he lost sight of God. But it's his fault because he quit following. Run, run, and keep running. For there's but one place for a Christian to be. And that's by the side of our Savior. Can you feel His breath tonight? Are you warned by His touch? Can you hear the whispers of His voice? Are you at His side tonight? Let's stand. Father God, we love You. Lord, we thank You for this lesson. How it warns us never to lose sight of You.